Becca, do you want to clean that matches your vibe?
Sure.
Are you tired of meh smelling cleaning products?
Totally.
Well, then clean confidently with coconut scented Clorox Scentiva. Its powerful clean and refreshing scents transform every room in your home into a coastal getaway.
Because it smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like inspiration.
Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store. Also available in grapefruit or lavender scents.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
Hey, you know how we're always trying to keep our girls' nights exciting with new cocktails?
Yeah.
Well, here's something that's going to flip the
21
script.
Seeds infused tequila.
Wait, you already know?
Of course. 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with juice from real fruit.
Yeah, so you only need two or three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
But did you know that 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend?
Sounds like there's a good story behind that for sure. So listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York. Tanya, I have great news.
Yes?
With all of your wedding activities on the horizon, I thought you'd be excited to find out the sale you wait for is finally here. Macy's Friends and Family Sale.
Yes! What perfect timing.
You can get an extra 30% off brands that almost never go on sale, like Levi's, Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Nike, Gap, Hotel Collection, Lego, and more.
This is incredible. I need to plan for my bachelorette party, bridal shower, rehearsal dinner. I mean, so now I know exactly where to look.
Exactly. And you can get 15% off beauty, makeup, and more, plus free shipping when you spend $25.
Amazing. Macy's Friends and Family Sale is April 25th through May 5th. Shop at Macy's.com and in-store. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing that you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Scrubbing in with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We're scrubbing in. Hi, everybody. Tanya, Mark, Easton.
I mean, happy Folklore Monday.
I was going to say, I don't know how to jump into it, but first things first, Taylor Swift surprised us, blessed us, gifted us with a brand new album, Folklore.
It's so crazy because I honestly, like, I feel like all through quarantine, I kind of am like in waves, like ebbs and flows of just like, I'm good. And then I'll get dark again. And like, it kind of just kind of goes. And I was having a little bit of a dark moment. And then she announced that she was going to be dropping an album. And it was just like, God answers our prayers in the most unique ways because I needed it. Like, it gave me this jolt of like life and excitement and like everything that I needed again. Like, that whole day I was Zooming.
So I've been Zooming since 9 p.m. on Thursday night. I've been Zooming. I forgot that we're in a pandemic. I have this renewed sense of joy. Yeah. And all I needed was just 16 new Taylor songs.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew? And like no time to prepare either.
Which was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, although it, like we found out in the morning and then Thursday was a long day waiting till 9 o'clock.
But
for
I
me.
Like I usually enjoy her Easter eggs and her clues. Like I like trying to figure out like what the album's going to be called and the era is going to look like. And I feel like we didn't get any of that.
I was fine with not having any of that. Okay. She said there's still Easter eggs in the song.
Oh, I'm don't think I didn't recognize because I read all the lyrics. She capitalized West in one of the songs, you know, like Kanye West. Yeah.
Okay. So first, before we get to Folklore and the songs, because I know we're all going to talk about our favorites and whatnot, we need to talk about you went through and named your favorites from each album.
I
of
did.
Hers before.
This is what I did to keep myself busy before the album came out.
And there were a few questionable choices. So I'd like to go through them again and rehash. And just because I looked at them, I couldn't even vote because I was just so, it was like the Denny and Izzy thing. It's like,
How did you not vote? You just either say this one's your favorite or it's not.
I was just too upset to even participate.
With all of them?
I need you to rehash. I know one
okay,
for sure.
First of all, I just want to say in my defense, there are 15 plus songs on each album. So the fact that over 50% of people voted that their favorite song was also my favorite song was good odds in my opinion, aside from one.
It's not bad, but let's just pretty go good. Through them, yeah.
Okay, so album number one, Should Have Said No.
What are some of the... I need to pull up that album. I need to pull up the albums as we go just to see who...
what you're against?
Yeah, because I feel like Should Have Said No.
I was with you on that one, big time.
Oh, interesting.
I love that song.
Big time?
Yeah, it's like a landslide.
Big time.
Big time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should Have Said No.
Should have gone home. Should have thought twice before you went to know.
Wow, that was gorgeous.
So good.
My favorite from that album, which actually probably wouldn't have gotten a significant response like yours, was Mary's Song.
Oh, yeah. No, that's definitely not the best.
And I love Tim McGraw, which is a classic. So, okay. That one's iffy because it's forever ago. So,
okay. Nice. Album number two was White Horse.
Was that from Fearless?
From Fearless, correct.
Okay, so Fearless has Fearless 15 Love Story. Love Story is one of my favorite songs of all time.
Over White Horse? White Horse yes. is like Mecca Taylor
and
Swift.
Listen, I love White Horse because it was first featured on Grey's Anatomy. That was the first time it was ever played. And I waited for months for it to actually come out because I heard just the snippet on the Grey's Anatomy episode.
And she still performs that song to this day. So, you know, obviously it's one of her personal favorites.
Well, yeah, she's done Love Story. She's like reinvented it.
I think you're discounting Love Story because of its omnipresence. You've heard it so many times. Maybe it's lost
true,
its impact
true, true,
on
true,
you
true.
Because I agree that's the best song on that album.
Love Story?
Love Story.
Yeah, I agree, Mark. I'm with you.
Wow. Okay. Album number three, which was Speak Now, is Enchanted.
Enchanted's an amazing song and made me feel these butterflies. When I first heard it, I had never even experienced before. It, like, gave me a feeling of euphoria, I would say. Personally, I have to go with... I'm torn on... I will say Enchanted's in the top three for me on that album. So, I mean, I love Back to December. Yeah. And I love Never Grow Up. It's emotional. Okay, so Enchanted was good.
Yeah, okay. So this one was the really controversial yeah. one that really got a lot of people up in arms. So my favorite song from the album Red is State of Grace.
Okay, let me just say, also, I very rarely, well, you very rarely will you name a Taylor Swift song and I'm like, that's trash. Actually, never. I would never say that. So I love State of Grace. I love all her songs. But that album has yeah. Red, which you have made me appreciate.
I know,
before.
I know. It was a toss-up between Red and State of Grace.
But All Too Well might be her best song of all time.
That's not true.
Do you like the song All Too
I do
well?
Like All Too Well, but it's in my top five. It's not even in my top
oh
three.
Oh, my. Yeah, I was shocked by that one.
Because this one has We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together as well.
I know, which is an amazing song too. Red, 22, like that. The Last Time.
Stay, Stay, Stay is also another one of my favorites.
That's one of my least favorites.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
So, yeah, I expected I gasped when I saw State of Grace.
It was, the consensus was All Too Well should have been the, that
yeah,
should have been
yeah.
the one. Yeah.
Okay, and then 1989, what'd you say?
Wildest Dreams.
That album's pretty hard to
it's go hard
wrong.
To say. And then for Reputation, I did Delicate.
Great song.
Yeah, and then for Lover, I did The Man.
Also good, but she did have... It was kind of... That's middle of the ranking for
I
me.
Know, I know. I just feel like that
it's
song
powerful
is like... That one's
empowerment.
Just, there's no more T-Rat of a song than The Man. Like, are you kidding? I had to pick it.
Okay, so moving into Folklore. Very different... Almost kind of like original Taylor vibes. It's kind of singer-songwriter, but there's like a new edge to it that she brought. We can all go around and say.
I honestly, like, I'm still on a high. Even just from the music video. It was so poetic. Like, the fact that the piano saves her all the time. I was like, that is so profound.
It was, I mean, the fact that she was able to do this during everything going on, she's a genius. The lyrics of this album, oh.
I know.
Okay, so my favorite.
So we need to go. We need to go around the room and pick our top three and put them in order. So they have to go in order of number one, number two, number three. Okay.
Tanya, before we got started, I said there's literally not a skip on this album for me, and she made a face and said there's so many skips. So I'm interested to hear what your skips are.
It's more towards the bottom of the album.
Okay. Did you listen to them? Or?
Yes, I did. I did.
I know you like to just listen to songs on repeat. So.
It was hard for me to get past the first four. Like, I think I listened to like 1 through 4, 4 times through before I even continued with the album.
Okay. All right. So, Mark, we're going to start with you. Top three today.
Why? Why me? Why are we starting with me? I mean, I'm happy
to
Mark's go.
Also, Mark is not a big fan of this album.
So here's the thing. Let me just say, and maybe, you know, I'm not the target, so it's fine. I'm the old dude, whatever. But I listened with my daughter, who's 14, and we listened to most of it. And it's a little mellow for us. It wasn't really what we were looking for. When I'm going to Taylor, I love hooks. I love strong melodies and strong hooks. And this was more vibey, and I wasn't really expecting vibey, and I wasn't into vibey. I'm not interested in tea. Like, you guys were all freaking out about our group chat that night. There were 200 messages, everyone freaking out about all the tea on the album. I could care less. I just want great hooks and great songs. There are a few, but overall, it's every song feels like the same vibe to me, and that got old after a little while. So, having said that, I also, and this is from a radio guy, I don't get it. I don't get putting out music that you're not planning on having radio hit songs with. I don't get that. I'll never get that.
I feel like it's just because it's quarantine. So it's like she wanted to give us something that we can quarantine to. You know what I mean?
I guess. But I kept waiting for, where's the single? Where's the big radio smash? Where's Blank Space? Where's Style? Where's The Man? Where's Me? Like, where's the one that I'm going to hear on the radio for a long time? And I don't think there's any on here that are that. But I do like The One, and I'll make that The One because it's The One. I really like August. Mm. And one of the reasons I really like August is it's the hook. I've expressed on here before how brilliant she is with a hook, where a song will be like a 6 and then the hook hits and it jumps to a 9 because the hook is so strong and it takes you home. That's August for me. And I also really like Betty. Betty's got a love story vibe to me. That's my top three.
Did you see there is, like, I've just been reading all the conspiracy theories. There's like a clip of Phoebe from Friends, who we all know Taylor's a big fan of. Phoebe like talks about, this is a song about a love triangle between three people, blah, blah, blah. And it was like about, I think it was about Ross, Rachel, and was that
Julie?
Yeah. And so they were saying that Betty is Taylor's version of that. I was like, wow.
Yeah. Genius.
I wouldn't put it past her.
Is the hook the same thing as the bridge?
No, the hook is the chorus.
Oh, okay. I mean, there's so many, the bridge in so many of these songs is where I just go.
I know. Honestly, wow. Three is hard for me because there's really four that are just so extraordinary.
We'll give you four.
Oh, wow.
We had rules. We had strict rules.
Okay. We have strict rules, Tanya. Sorry.
No. You can
because you don't like the album doesn't mean
just because you're limited at three, Mark. Yeah.
You can give an honorable mention.
Okay, honorable mention.
Oh, God. Okay. It's going to hurt me to boot one.
You get an honorable mention.
Do you want to go next?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. My top.
Feel free to choose. You can go 3-2-1 if you'd like, or 1-2-3, like whichever way you want to go.
I've had my favorites have kind of switched up because I'm really just going through it, letting myself feel all of them, listen to the lyrics. My number one that literally made me sit still for the whole however long it was is Exile.
Oh.
Because it is that song that, like, I'm not going through anything heartbreaking, but I want to just sit in my living room in the dark with a candle lit and put it on.
That is the song I said I need in and around my mouth. I love that song, so, but it's like so artsy and just like beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. My
that's
second,
number one.
Yeah, that's my number one. Wow. I would have to say my second is August. I'm with Mark on that. It has a like summer vibe that I love, but the words are kind of sad. It makes you want to kind of like be done with summer. It's a memory, which is kind of how I feel right now. It's just like, I'm ready for fall. Let's put this behind us.
Oh.
I think it's just the vibe of the album makes me really ready for fall. And then my third, which is, like I said, I would say this spot is In and Out. I'm going to have to do an honorable mention, too.
That's fine. That's fine.
My third is going to be Illicit Affairs.
Oh, how shocking.
Yeah, I love it. And it makes me feel really sad because someone was basically like, I need you to be a secret. I just find it really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And my honorable mention... My honorable mention is going to be This Is Me Trying.
Oh! So it actually pains me that I can't put that one even in my four anymore because the other ones have, like, that was one of my favorites the first night.
Wow.
I was obsessed with This Is Me Trying.
Oh, and now ever I'm thinking about the one in Invisible String right now and Mad Woman.
It's too bad because you can only,
I know. I'm just saying the album's just so good. Okay, go ahead.
This Is Me Trying. It's going to be painful not to mention that one because that one was an early favorite of mine, but these other ones really take the cake. So I'll start out with my number one, which is The One.
It's amazing.
It's just like, that was the first one I heard. And I think I listened to it on repeat like 5 times. I couldn't get past it. I was like obsessed.
Yeah.
And then my number two is going to be Invisible String.
So good. It's so romantic.
There's no like better song for Dear Future Husband than Invisible String.
It's great. Yeah. Great.
That's like Dear Future Husband's theme song.
Yeah.
It's so hopeful and like romantic and just like, oh. So that one was a shower, not a grower. Or that one was a grower, not a shower for me.
Oh, it grew on you.
Yeah. Because like the first time I listened to the album, I wasn't like totally into it. And then I was listening to the lyrics and I was like, this is my song.
Okay.
So that would be my number two. Now, my number three is going to go to Cardigan.
It's amazing.
Because, no, but nobody has mentioned that in their top three. And that song is so good. Like amazing. The lyrics, I mean, I felt like an old cardigan under someone's bed. And you picked me up and said I was your favorite. I mean, I literally wanted to cry because I felt that before. Like, I've totally felt that.
No.
Oops. And then my honorable mention is going to go to Exile because I love it so much.
Yeah.
And I love Bon Iver. Mm-hmm. I just feel like if anybody's listening and they need a good album to just like
cry
to, Bon Iver is so good. It's such a good album. The last one, at least.
A lot of his are.
Yeah. So there we go. That would be my top three with an honorable mention.
The beginning of Invisible String has a slight vibe of Death by a Thousand Cuts to me, like an acoustic version. You'll have to listen to it. All right, Easton.
All right, number one is Mirror Ball for me.
Oh.
Great.
I love that song so much. I listened to it many times in a row on my first listen, and I came home after work, and my wife had the same favorite song, so that was a special moment for us. So then number two is The One. What a strong way to start the album.
Yeah.
It's so good. And number three is August for me.
Solid.
It's so good.
Wait, do you feel that Mirrorball hat? Do you know the song Stolen by Dashboard Confessional?
Yeah.
It gives me that same vibe of like spinning around, like, you know, she talks about spinning on her tiptoes and gives me that same feeling.
And so Mark mentioned that we have a morning show group chat that we just like send stuff for work. Usually it's like articles or things that we think we should talk about. And the night that the album came out, we just were like rapid.
Oh, it was crazy.
It was really only like 4 or 5 of us that were like chiming in on things. And so we created like a separate On Air with Ryan Seacrest folklore group chat.
No, I was not part of that.
No, you're not.
But it's, I still got 200 messages that night.
Well, no. Oh, so we created that the next day because we realized everybody was probably just so annoyed by all of our texting. So we created it the next day. And it was really funny because I was, I begged Bart Starr. I go, I just want to slow dance to like one song from Taylor's album this weekend, please. And he was like, yeah, of course. So Friday night we danced to, I like had it on the whole night and we like slow danced to, I think it was The One. But I videotaped because he was like, okay, I think it's enough Taylor tonight. Like, you know, we don't want too much of a good thing. And so I'm like videotaping this and sending it to our group chat because it was so funny. And then, but come Saturday night, I got a video of him. I had Taylor Swift playing and I got a video of him like dancing to the song, like dancing to it. And I said, this is the power of Taylor. One night he's saying,
don't do
too much. And the next day he's dancing to it like a proud man.
Proud Swiftie. Yeah, I mean, we went and got fresh Krispy Kreme donuts the night of, sat around the table, listened. It was just euphoric. It was one of my favorite nights of quarantine, I would say.
That's so fun. This album, I think, was made for, was quarantine.
Yeah.
And just like all the Easter, like, you know, The Last Great American Dynasty?
Mm-hmm. So I like that one, too.
I do too. She wrote that about the woman, the couple that owned her Rhode Island house before she bought it. Like, who just does that? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so good.
I thought it was about me because Rebecca, and then realized it was spelled wrong and I don't have a house and throwing wild parties. So it quickly, you know, I quickly realized it was not about me.
Someday, Becca.
Someday. You know, one day. Well, actually, that someday could be sooner because I don't know. Well, you guys obviously can't see because we're a podcast, but Taylor Swift sent out these cardigans to, like, the elite of the elite.
By the way, she mentions Cardigan and Betty again, and I thought that was, I liked that stuff.
I do, too.
Yeah. I think that's cool when there's, like, a theme, like a little, yeah. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
So she sends these cardigans to the elite of the elite. I'm talking, I don't even know who got them, but, like, Ellen Pompeo status. You know what I mean? Like, she sent out these cardigans. Kelsea Ballerini got one. Who else got them?
I mean, are you saying Ellen Pompeo got one?
I don't know, but I'm just saying from what I've seen there, she sent them to a girthy list of top notch, right? So I'm looking at Instagram, and who gets one in the mail?
Me!
Rebecca Tilley gets a cardigan. She's wearing it right now, and I'm actually wearing my Taylor Swift lover merch, and I just feel like such a fair weather fan. Like, this is such an old era. It doesn't even make sense anymore. It's a tie-dye shirt that says awesome, and it's just not the vibe of Taylor anymore, and I've never been more jealous.
So I got the package and looked in the corner, and it said Taylor Nation, and I was like, no way, because I saw them all, and you know, I was seeing everyone get them.
But who else got them? Why am I blanking now?
I saw Kelsey,
Sarah Hyland,
Haley got one,
Adam Lambert, Jonathan Van Ness,
Kobe Bryant's daughter Natalia got like the one from the video.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant's daughter. Who? Kobe Bryant's daughter.
Oh, yeah. So, I opened it and literally freaked out. I was like, how? I did get the lover merch last year, so I don't know if, last album, but I was not expecting this. And I felt, I feel like I'm just going to wear it every day until the weather actually is appropriate for it, because I'm hot. I have it on right now. It's warm, but I'm committed.
Yeah, totally. I wear that thing every day.
The night of we were listening to the album, my sister wanted one, so I ordered her a cardigan, and then I ordered a sweatshirt for myself and a socket.
You can order those?
Yeah, so
No. Yours are special.
The ones we got say Taylor Swift right here, and then the ones online have like a folklore patch up top. Yeah. But like, you know what's amazing? Like, I will, even though it's like, it's a card, you know, whatever. Like, I'm going to tell my kids about Taylor Swift. I'm going to raise my kids on Taylor Swift. I'm going to show them this sweater. Are you kidding? It's the coolest thing ever. I felt so much cooler than I am. I was like, wow, this is awesome. So, yeah, that's what I've That's what I went through this weekend.
She's on a little bit of a high horse right now. She's just like, I'm feeling myself wearing this Taylor card. As you should. As you should.
Yeah.
My lover merch.
So yeah, it felt like the greatest gift ever. Can't say enough about it. I mean, the album, but also the cardigan, too.
the cardigan is just, like, unparalleled.
Did you have a good weekend otherwise? I don't know what could go wrong with this.
Sounds good. Slow dancing with Red Star.
Yeah, romantic.
Slow dancing to some tea swizzle. It is funny, though, because I was playing him some of the songs, and he's like, they all kind of sound the same.
That's it. He's right.
He's just a dude, you know? Such a dude. His favorite was Exile, though. Which is obvious because it's like Bon Iver.
It's beautiful. It's poetic.
I'm just kind of in one of those slumps again where I just feel a little bit bored.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like I'm just doing the same thing. I'm trying to be optimistic. And then I hear news like Google isn't going back to work till July 2021. And I just go in a tailspin of just like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm.
It is. Yeah. Our wedding anniversary is today. And so
anniversary.
Thank you. But there was a feeling of, so what are we going to do about that? So we're going to try to find a place to go out to dinner tonight with outdoor seating. And then this weekend, we're going to get away as a family. But there was a vibe of, let's just let the big things go by this year because they're not going to be much. And then next year, it'll be better, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. I know, but that's so sad.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of these, like, these moments of, you know, being on a high, feeling like normalcy, and then the next week being like, I'm feeling off again.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that's just kind of, until there's an answer of when things will be back to normal or people are going back to work or whatever it is, I think there's going to be these ups and downs that we, you know, go through.
I'm trying to think of things that I can do safely. Like, I'm doing a lot of picnics, distant ones where like, I'm actually like, you know, six feet away because there are so many friends that I haven't seen in months and this isn't going away anytime soon for us in Los Angeles. So, I've been kind of, you know, trying to plan like distant picnics with people.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like kind of talking to for me, it's been like talking to my friends, seeing if they've been quarantined, being safe. And then, you know, our friend Taylor came over the other day for the listening party because she's a huge fan. It was just so great to see her. Like, I just felt so happy, like, getting to have that normalcy of seeing, like, people I normally see. Yeah. Not Taylor Swift, Taylor Banks.
No, I know.
I was like, why are you laughing like that?
No, because it made me think of on Thursday night, or whenever the album came out Thursday night, Red Star FaceTimed me. And so we were like talking on, you know, FaceTime or whatever. And that was when the album had already come out. So my text messages were just, as Mark mentioned, our, you know, thing was just going off. And so I kept pausing the FaceTime to like read everything. And he goes, let's just hang up. He goes, go have fun with your friends and I'll talk to you tomorrow. And that's exactly what I felt like it was. Like, I felt like I was just having fun with my friends, enjoying this album and like all virtually though. It was kind of sad. I wish I could have done it.
Yeah, I know.
In a group setting.
I know. Our guests are here, so we're gonna take a break. But I'm really excited to talk to them. We're switching gears pretty drastically of what we're gonna talk about today. We have kind of I've seen a lot of conversations about human trafficking, and Human Trafficking Day is coming up, right?
Yeah, July 30th.
And so I know a lot of people have been wondering why we're not talking about her. You know, why we're not saying anything. And so we wanted to bring in people who are actually doing some work on this and incorporating it into their art and their creativity of what they're creating and what they're doing about it. So we have sisters Vanessa and Laura Morano on today, and I'm really excited to talk to them. So we will be right back to chat. Presented by 21 Seeds.
So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and throw lots of girls' nights, it's important to always have a signature cocktail ready to go.
Definitely. And people don't want to spend all their time at the drink bar. They'd rather be doing fun stuff like
playing charades.
Or having a dance party on the patio.
Exactly. That's why 21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have.
21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with the juice of real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. So you only need two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail.
21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easy margaritas ever.
Yes, 21 Seeds is smooth, fresh, and tastes incredible.
And it's not overly sweet. It tastes like tequila.
Just infused with real juice.
Totally. And get this, 21 Seeds is female founded.
Love it. Modern women, baby.
Two sisters and one friend.
All my friends are like sisters, so I can relate.
Listen, if you love tequila like us, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York. Becca, let's talk about one of our goals for 2024, shopping sustainably.
Yes, and you know what's been amazing? Being able to shop sustainably at Macy's.
Agreed. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference.
It's so refreshing. I've been loving exploring their selection from brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more.
Plus, here's something really special. Macy's is not just talking the talk, they're walking the walk. Did you know that they're bringing more parks to more people by supporting the Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards project?
It's incredible. They're transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces, making sure our communities are healthy and livable for generations to come.
And here's where we can all make a difference. You can join Macy's in this incredible effort by donating online or in store and learn more at macys.com/purpose.
Every little bit counts, and together we can create a greener, more sustainable future.
So head over to macys.com/purpose to learn more and make your contribution today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Let me tell you about this social battery over here.
Yours?
Yes.
Tell me more.
It is drained.
Why?
Because I'm not giving myself enough Tanya time.
Oh, I know how important Tanya time is.
I'm not giving it to myself because I've been working a lot, and I think I've just been overly social that I'm not factoring in the time I need just for myself.
Well, I also think it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially you, and especially with social gatherings picking up after winter.
What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time.
Well, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I do think one of the things that has helped me with like setting boundaries of where I'm spending my energy has been therapy, and knowing how to, first of all, set the boundaries, and also knowing how to pay attention that when I'm feeling drained and I don't have capacity, that I can tap into a place where I have more to give.
And it's also built in you time.
Yes,
which
exactly.
Is very, very necessary. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/scrubbing today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/scrubbing. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
All right, so we are back with the Murano sisters, Vanessa and Laura. Welcome to Scrubbing.
Hey. What's up? Hey.
Hi.
idea.
I know I asked you before we started the interview, but you're a Taylor fan.
Oh my God. Yes. Huge. To the point when she, I mean, like everyone, but to the point when she announced the album, that whole day I didn't do any work. Like, I literally was just like, oh my God, wait, what does this mean? And then this means this.
Were you on the phone when that got announced? Because I feel like
yeah, we had a meeting.
We were faced, oh, were we doing a meeting? Is that
yeah, what we were doing a meeting for the book, and like, and the script changes. And we were like, I started it. First of all, I came late to the meeting. Then I like, not that late, like 3 minutes. But then I like came in. It's weird with Zoom when you're late. Because
yes,
and I'm always late. Same. But I like started being like, I really can't concentrate because I'm just so excited for Taylor Swift's album.
Oh, and it was a notes meeting, by the way, for a book that we've optioned and we're developing a script right now. So we were like literally going through notes and Laura was like, hold on, everybody.
I'm like, I just feel like we need to talk about this.
I think we need to talk about this right now.
I know. Important. Honestly, I felt the same way. Like, I could not concentrate that whole day. I didn't know what to do with myself until it came out. I was sitting here just listening to old albums, like posting on Instagram about her old songs and like making people vote because I was just so excited. I didn't know what to do with myself.
I feel that.
Yeah.
I know. But I mean, you said you just tweeted something and you got some validation.
So, yes, I tweeted a lyric from Which My lyric? Tears Ricochet. If I'm dead to you, why are you at the wake? And I then like was doing other things kind of on social media, and I posted a photo on Instagram, and all of a sudden I had a bunch of fans being like, Taylor liked your tweet. Did you see that Taylor liked your tweet? And I was like, what? And so then I went into Taylor Swift's likes and she liked my tweet. And I've now not been able to do any more work today. So,
Taylor, that is a badge of honor. Right. That is a badge
Taylor
of honor
Swift
that you should wear.
Is personally responsible for our production work. Company not getting anything done right.
Exactly. In the best way possible.
Okay, wait, before we move on, I do want to know your top three off the album, and you have to rank them 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, that's mean. That's just like a mean thing to do.
I know, but we all did it, so...
It's changing. I'm like living with it every day.
We understand.
I would say 3 would be My Tears Ricochet. 2 okay. would be Exile. And 1, I feel like this is a basic answer because I know it's like the single of the music video, but 1 is Cardigan. I'm obsessed with Cardigan. Yeah. I literally like get chills every time the first chorus comes in. She knew you. They say when you're young, they assume you know nothing, but she knew you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Wait, so, okay, Vanessa's like dying laughing at us being total nerds. Have you not listened at all?
Guys, there's so much Real Housewives to be watching.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
Everybody has their thing, you know?
Potomac's about to come back. I got to keep my focus. I got to keep my energy. They're doing at-home confessionals. I'm dealing with that right now. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, you got a lot on your plate. No distractions allowed.
I respect it. Honestly, I do.
So I know we are very much going to switch gears right now and talk about kind of the work that y'all are doing. But you've kind of immersed yourself in the education and the familiarizing yourself with human trafficking and what's going on in our world and in that industry that is so rampant and should be talked about so much more than it is. And I was telling you, even our listeners have been like, why aren't you speaking out about it? Why aren't you talking about it? And it's one of those things, just like everything else we've been processing during this pandemic. It's like, if you don't feel educated enough, you don't want to say anything wrong. Yeah. So then you just stay quiet, which is also a problem too.
Yeah.
And it's like you see it exists and you're watching these things, but I feel like I don't know anything to speak on, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's almost like I'd consume the stuff that everybody's watching, but I'm not really asking the right questions or digging for them.
Totally.
You know what's so interesting is part of the reason why we wanted to do this panel for World Day Against Trafficking and putting it just on our Instagrams and just putting it out there directly to anybody who follows us is because we really wanted to have a conversation with survivors who are also advocates, because just like you said, it's so hard to bring awareness to a topic when you don't have a personal experience with it, even though you know it's a rampant issue and you know that it's happening and you want it to stop and you want to do something about it. And really the point of us having this conversation was to have a survivor-informed conversation, to have a conversation that comes from personal experience, that comes from a place of, this is what I went through. Here are some of the signs. Here's what we can do about it. Here are some policies that we should be supporting. Here's what we should be watching out for. Here's how you talk about it with someone who experienced it. Here's how you raise awareness. And that was a big reason why Laura and I wanted to do this was, A, if anybody has a personal connection to sexual exploitation in any way, to A, know that you're not alone, and B, if you haven't had any experience with it, to have a medium out there that is educating from a survivor perspective.
Yeah. And I really appreciate you guys with the transparency, because I do think a lot of people feel really uncomfortable about the topic. I know when Vanessa and I were out promoting Saving Zoe last year, it was very weird timing, weirdly relevant because Jeffrey Epstein had just gotten arrested. And even with that being so mainstream, and people kind of figuring out and finding out all these kind of different things, it was like, it was really hard for us to get press to talk about online sexual exploitation and sex trafficking. It was, I think, mixed with people feeling uncomfortable about the topic and the tone of the conversation, with potentially something a little bit more sinister, because at the end of the day, it is like a crazy, thriving business. It's $99 billion
worldwide each year.
So yes, that's each year.
Yeah, each year, $99 billion is the estimate of profits made from commercial sexual exploitation. That number is given to us by the UN. And we tend to think of trafficking as like a foreign thing, but at the end of the day, right, another fact is that the US is one of the top places that it happens. And I think another reason that feeds into this, like us feeling like we're not educated enough to speak on it or address the issue, is this idea of like, when it is portrayed, it's always portrayed in that like sort of Taken, you know, the movie Taken, like,
yeah,
you know, other country kidnapped, the whole thing. And it's far more insidious than that. And that's something we really get into with the panel, is a, something called the grooming process, which is how traffickers and predators basically either threaten their victims or give their victims affection. I think we also, you know, think about the Me Too movement did a great job, I think, of redefining what rape is. And at the end of the day, if you're not consenting, or if there's a position of power that makes you feel like you are forced to do something, that is not consent. And that's something we talk about in the panel, is, you know, so many people who have survived or fortunately haven't survived the situation, or maybe in a position where it was like, okay, well, I'll give you food, I'll give you shelter, I'll give you praise and affection and a place to feel like you have some love in your life. And these are tools that predators and traffickers use to, like they say, groom the victims and ultimately get you under their control. And because it's so insidious, it's very difficult to talk about the issue and the different facets of it. Cause I think it's so easy that people go into a situation where they go, oh, well, that person's clearly choosing to do this. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily true. I think we're so privileged in our lives if we have choices. I think that's something we're having a big conversation right now nationally, is about privileges and privileges that we weren't aware of. And again, moving forward with why Laura and I felt it was very important to have a survivor-informed conversation, was we haven't experienced this issue personally, but through making Saving Zoe, we met amazing survivors along the way who shared their story with us so graciously, informed the editing process of our film, and really educated us and brought awareness. And so we were like, okay, well, all we can do in this moment, use the tools at your disposal, and we can spread awareness and we can give a platform that we have to people who know better than us.
Mm-hmm. I watched Saving Zoe, and I was so taken aback because of the fact of how I've always thought about trafficking being a foreign concept. And like you said, in Taken, it's like, right, be careful going to foreign countries. But that was such a eye-opening realization of how it's happening to people simply going over to someone's house who's like an older, cooler, I'm putting quotes up, guy who is running this like underground business.
Totally.
That's part of the process. And so I also watched this video and it was kind of talking about pornography and how people, you know, it's always in my head been like a moral thing of like watching pornography and it kind of being like, well, it's none of my business what people do, you know, if they want to watch it and that's what they want to do. But the connection with the human trafficking and the pornography and what's being merged together is shocking and so scary for everyone who's like participating in that, not from like a moral standpoint, but from a point of saying like, I don't know if these girls are there because they're choosing to be.
And not only that, to say something really quick, a lot of the people might be underaged. So yeah. One of our survivors started getting trafficked. She calls it, she got in the life when she was 12 years old. And she got arrested when she was 13. And she looked older. And so both online and on the streets, there was this assumption that she was older. And so for whatever reason, because it's older, it's okay. Which, by the way, that's completely wrong. But the idea is, well, with online stuff and with porn, you actually don't know some of the ages of the girls or of the people in the videos. And so that's actually a really huge thing of, it's shocking and disturbing how some of them are underage.
Well, and if they're not underage too, I mean, one of the survivors we spoke with, she went in for a job interview and the man interviewing her raped her. And it wasn't until 10 years later, she discovered that video was being sold online as porn. So people could watch it or click on it for free with ads or whatever. It was not something she consented to. It was not an act that she consented to. And she was in her 40s by the time she realized that it was up there. And it is this interesting thing. I think we have this idea about like, if I don't see it, it's not there. And that's not
right, right.
But I think it is just how we process things. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you dive into sexual exploitation and all of its forms, there's a heavy debate on all sides of the spectrum about, like I said, choice. But when we're getting into these situations with children, with people who are believed to be consenting because of circumstances that are beyond their control, we have to figure out how do we protect the majority of people who are actually being exploited in these situations.
That's what I was actually going to ask you guys. So you're doing this panel on World Against Trafficking Day and you're doing all this work. What's your biggest goal for, you know, doing this work for people to like, what, for people that want to tune in, what do you want to teach them? Like, what should people know?
I think number one, it's spreading awareness. Again, kind of this idea of like, in a weird way, the topic is becoming more mainstream because of Jeffrey Epstein and the series about him on Netflix, but just kind of continuing this education and awareness and having it be survivor informed and survivor led, I think is really, really important. And we talk about certain policies, certain laws, certain things that people can maybe get behind and learn about. You know, Melanie Thompson and Cristiano Eduardo are the two survivor advocates that we are talking to. And I think it's so important to hear their voice, hear their story from their firsthand experience of what the grooming process is, what's the, you know, emotional journey of a survivor, what is happening online, you know, who's getting affected, how are traffickers getting people using, they use barriers, they use vulnerabilities, you know, who's getting affected on a majority, it's marginalized communities. And are we not talking about it because as society, we're not caring about these marginalized communities? So I think there's a whole wide range of topics that we cover, and we're hoping that people are going to keep talking about and keep covering in their own life and keep becoming aware and keep educating themselves. But I think that was our number one goal with this
panel. And I think the other thing for us is, you know, we're living in a very polarizing time right now. We're living in a very politically divisive time right now. And Laura and I felt very compelled to, again, have a conversation. I don't think we have conversations as much anymore. We scream at each other.
Yeah, for sure.
Type in all caps over the internet. And like I said, we haven't experienced this issue. These advocates and survivors unfortunately have. And they're using their voice to try and change things. They're using their voice to make a difference. They're using their voice to protect us, to protect anyone who may potentially be vulnerable, and to honor the fact that they're willing to speak out.
That's so huge. I was going to say, because I feel like a lot of these survivors and people, I think the number one thing when people are watching these is, how do they not speak up? How do they, you know, when they do survive this, why are they not sharing their story? But it's like, it's met with so much shame and guilt, and people kind of aren't accepting of it. And so I understand why a lot of survivors aren't speaking up or sharing their story. So the fact that there are.
And it's also personal. It's so personal. Yeah. It's one of the things too, where it's like, you know, it takes a lot to be an advocate for anything, by the way.
Anything.
So when you've gone through something that no human being should ever go through, you know, for us to expect that it's just so easy to come forward.
Yeah, because I know somebody very well who has experienced rape, and she will never, ever, ever talk about it publicly, never, ever want to, like, kind of almost wants to forget that that ever happened.
For sure.
And, you know, it's like, you have to just respect everybody's choice and what they want to do, but, absolutely, you know, it's very traumatizing.
One of the most powerful parts of this panel is both Melanie and both Christiane literally say, this isn't easy for us to talk about. It's not like we want to talk about this. It's not like, but we are doing this for other people. We are doing this to bring awareness, to educate. And I thought that was such a really beautiful and powerful part. We really dive into the emotional journey and the emotional, you know, challenges that come with being a survivor. And it just, for Vanessa and I, was like, we were already so grateful of the conversation, but that, you know, made us feel like even more grateful and even more appreciative of, mm-hmm, this is not easy for them. This will never be easy for them,
mm-hmm,
but they are doing this to help, to spread awareness. And the least we can do is listen.
And they're also getting behind a lot of policies and laws, which we dive into in the conversation, which I think is super important too, because eventually conversation needs to lead to actual change, and change is through legislation reimagining things too. You know, we're having a whole conversation about reimagining law enforcement right now, reimagining policies, reimagining laws. And again, we have to start with actually talking about it, not screaming at each other about it. Let's have a conversation. And even if your opinion differs from my opinion, well, let's listen to those who are directly affected by it, because the people who are directly affected by it have something important to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I love that y'all are doing this. And it's such a start for people who, like, I think both of us have felt like, where do we begin to even educate or learn? And I think y'all giving these survivors a platform to use their voice and leading the conversation with them is it's going to be so impactful. I know for me, like, I'm going to watch as soon as it goes up, because it's something I want to know more about and feel more confident speaking on.
And it's like, you make such a good point about the importance of legislation with all of this, because I think, I mean, I can even speak firsthand, when I, like, voted for the first time, I didn't know anything about any policies. I was just like, I'm stoked, Barack Obama, I'm going to go vote. And, like, I just voted for the president and, like, was on my way. You know what I mean? Cause I was like, I don't want to, all this other stuff is just, like, a lot, you know what I mean? And I just wasn't as informed. I wasn't as knowledgeable, and I almost felt like I didn't No.
Well, you know what's interesting is they don't make voting easy. So, you know, obviously everybody knows who's running for president, right?
Right.
Judges. It's very hard to find information on the judges you're voting for. You know, everyone gets into, I live in a blue state, I live in a red state, my vote doesn't count, which I won't get into that argument, but let's really realistically get into, well, your vote counts in your state, who you're voting for mayor, who you're voting for attorney general, the propositions, you're absolutely correct. I am very passionate about voting, and I'm going to tell you, it's not easy to look up all the information, to find accurate information that isn't sponsored by groups that want you to vote a certain way. Even the way propositions are worded sometimes are very confusing. And that's something else we should discuss, because honestly, the voting process is not easy. They make it very difficult, and there's a reason they make it difficult.
Yeah. And like now I have to go in, I literally go in with like my notes of everything and what I'm like, but you know what I mean? Just cause I'm like, I don't want to forget or, you know, it's intense.
Well, I'm sure you'll talk about sort resources and places where people can start searching for how to better educate themselves and learn. And I think starting with, what y'all are putting out there is a great start for everyone with the panel. So, I'm really excited about it. I'm interested to learn more and hear from these women who have gone through it. And
well, and it's, we speak to a male survivor. That's another huge misconception about it. And yes, women and girls make up 94% of sexual exploitation victims. That means 6% are men or identify as another gender. And we, again, going into not talking about things or misconceptions of who this can happen to, we don't talk about it happening to men. We don't talk about it happening to boys. We've met a few male survivors along this journey. Again, when we don't talk about it, that keeps survivors silent. That makes survivors feel like, well, why would I talk about it? No one's going to believe it happened to me. Or why would I talk about it? This makes me less of X, Y, and Z, X, Y, and Z in my masculinity, X, Y, and Z in how the world perceives me as a man. There's so many things that I don't think we realize that when we don't talk about something in society, it stays normalized or not normalized in a way that is isolating to anyone who has not experienced it or anyone who has experienced it in a different way than is portrayed in the media.
Yeah, and Christian, not only is he identifies as a man, but he was trafficked as a young adult. He was trafficked when he was 24. And I think that's also, again, to more to Vanessa's point, something we don't talk about. We have the kind of perception, which is true, that it happens to children and teens, but it also happens to young adults. It also happens to older adults. It also happens to senior citizens. Like it truly can happen to anyone and everyone. And that's what makes it so insidious and what makes it so dangerous.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So when is the panel out? When are y'all?
You're doing it. Are you doing it on your Instagram lives July 30th, right?
Yeah. Instagram TV, because we shot it already. It actually ended up being very long, which is great because we covered a lot. So we broke it up into four parts. It's going to be about 30 minutes each part. And the first day we're premiering it is on World Day Against Trafficking, which is July 30th, which is a Thursday. That will be part one.
So many witches.
Which.
And then we'll do this coming Thursday.
Yeah.
And then it's going to, the subsequent parts will come out on the subsequent days. So part two on Friday, part three on Saturday, and part four on Sunday.
Oh, perfect. Well, thank y'all so much for not only doing that, but also taking the time to come on Scrubbing In and talk about it and the importance of just knowing and educating ourselves on what's going on so that we can listen and learn and then speak up.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it, because at the end of the day, you know, it's this type of media too that's bringing awareness to this work, that's bringing awareness to these survivor advocates, that again is going to continue spreading the word. So we really appreciate you guys letting us virtually come on the podcast.
Yeah, virtual is the way right now.
I know. Laura, I feel like I haven't seen you in so long.
I know. It's literally been, when was the last time we would have seen each other?
Like years, I feel.
Probably, actually. That is not.
Yeah. Like real years or like quarantine years?
Yeah, no, I think like real years. I think like real years.
Because it would have been at a iHeart event, or maybe not. It might have been, I'm trying to think. I haven't seen you in so long. It's actually kind of
in
crazy.
So long, but I love you just as equally and miss you a lot.
I love and miss you, and I'm glad. glad I could virtually see you.
I know. We're going to do a Corona hug.
it's become like the middle school dance hug.
I forgot how to hug people. Wait, what are y'all's Instagrams? You'll put them both on your IGTVs, right?
Yes. So okay. Mine,
and you want to share what
mine is at Laura Marano, LauraMarano.
And mine is at Vanessa Marano, VanessaMarano.
Easy peasy. All right. Thank you, girls, so much. Hopefully we'll see you again when we can all be in the same room. Yes. But until then.
Love you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and throw lots of girls' nights, it's important to always have a signature cocktail ready to go.
Definitely. And people don't want to spend all their time at the drink bar. They'd rather be doing fun stuff like playing charades.
Or having a dance party on the patio.
Exactly. That's why 21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have.
21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with the juice of real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. So you only need 2 or 3 ingredients to make your perfect cocktail.
21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easy margaritas ever.
Yes, 21 Seeds is smooth, fresh, and tastes incredible.
And it's not overly sweet. It tastes like tequila.
Just infused with real juice.
Totally. And get this, 21 Seeds is female founded.
Love it. Modern women, baby.
2 sisters and 1 friend.
All my friends are like sisters, so I can relate.
Listen, if you love tequila like us, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York. Becca, let's talk about one of our goals for 2024, shopping sustainably.
Yes, and you know what's been amazing? Being able to shop sustainably at Macy's.
Agreed. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference.
It's so refreshing. I've been loving exploring their selection from brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more.
Plus, here's something really special. Macy's is not just talking the talk, they're walking the walk. Did you know that they're bringing more parks to more people by supporting the Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards project?
It's incredible. They're transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces, making sure our communities are healthy and livable for generations to come.
And here's where we can all make a difference. You can join Macy's in this incredible effort by donating online or in store and learn more at macys.com/purpose.
Every little bit counts, and together we can create a greener, more sustainable future.
So head over to macys.com/purpose to learn more and make your contribution today. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's #1 entertainment news source and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. They're awesome. They're doing amazing work. I mean, that topic, like they said, it's something people are so, I mean, even myself, it's like so dark and so overwhelmingly horrible that like doing the work to educate and learn is hard.
Yeah, and having the conversation with a survivor, I feel like would be very hard as well.
Yeah, I feel like even just the, like that interview that we just did, I learned a lot and I'm really excited to watch the panel.
Me too.
Switching gears again, there's some new merch
just
out.
Just a gear shifter is what this episode is.
Yeah,
truly.
We'll call
just
it the
like
gear shifter. We have new merch items. We have beach towels, and let me tell you, they are so freaking cute. There's a circular round one with scrubbing in. There's a Turkish towel.
Do you understand that I use my Turkish towels anytime I go on a picnic? Like, that's just the thing. I just throw my Turkish towels in the bag.
It's who you are. It's what you love.
It's who I am. It's what I love.
And also with every purchase on the merch site, they're throwing in a scrubbing in dish scrubber while supplies last. So go ahead and place your order so you get one of those. But they say scrubbing in on it. Is that not the cutest thing ever?
It's the cutest.
And a portion of the proceeds will go to No Kid Hungry. So head over to myfanthreads.com/scrubbingin today to get your merch. Did you see the article talking about how Grey's Anatomy is going to tackle coronavirus pandemic?
Did I see it?
But do you know what's crazy is that everyone was sending it to me like, oh my gosh. And in my head, I'm thinking, of course they are. How could they not address it?
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess I'll just assume that they would. But I never realized that Grey's Anatomy brought in actual like doctors to... The writers brought in actual doctors to get their stories.
Are you even a fan? What do you mean?
I didn't know that.
Every single crazy like scenario that you're thinking there's no way that's happened has happened because they get these stories from real life people.
So they've had sinkholes in Seattle?
Yes. Well, there's sinkholes. I don't know if they're in Seattle.
That particular neighborhood seems to be pretty unlucky in terms of natural disasters.
Yeah, like, so you think there was a biking, cycling situation going on in Seattle and one of them ran over, who was it? What was that episode?
I don't know, but I know what you're talking about. And yes, could have been.
And there was really a bomb inside of...
Not in Seattle, but probably somewhere.
Right, that's
what I'm saying. There are stories all come. So I personally was... I never even doubted that they would cover the coronavirus pandemic.
See, what I found most interesting in that article as a Grey's fan was the episodes that are just lost in season 16. Mm-hmm. Like, we're just not going to get those four last episodes.
And that last episode, I don't know if anyone remembers, but wow, they left us hanging.
Because they weren't able to film those last four. They wrote them, so they're all written, but they didn't get to film them. And basically the article said we're probably not going to ever film them because we're going to have to pick up at season 17.
Right. I mean, we all had plans and they all got scuttled. So I get it.
Right.
Yeah. But wait, I feel like they could film at least something about the Teddy and Owen thing.
I'm sure they'll continue that. It's just now they have kind of a whole new world to explore.
A different starting point. Yeah.
They can pick and choose what they want from those episodes. So the question Tanya asked on the morning show and the question I enjoy as a topic is, do we want this? Do we want our television to be an escape from all of this stuff, or do we want it to reflect the realities that we're living in?
I saw a lot of people with that response of like, I watch television to escape, but...
And I'm on that boat.
Really? Yeah. See, I'm kind of like, Grey's Anatomy, in my opinion, has always kind of been... heartbreak and real life heartbreak, like things that people go through just on an extreme level of sadness and death and love and heartbreak. So I don't necessarily know that Grey's has ever been a place I go to for like a happy escape. And I feel like they could tackle a pandemic even if we weren't currently going through a pandemic, and it still would feel upsetting.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm okay with Grey's doing it just because it is a medical show and this is like a medical virus. So I'm okay with it this way, but in terms of my regular scheduled programming, I don't know. It's like, I don't want them just like, I don't want to keep hearing about it. I'm fatigued from it. I don't want.
Okay. Yeah. If Friends was still airing and they all showed up to the coffee shop with masks on
with
and
6 feet apart, I don't want to see it.
Upsetting.
Yeah.
But that's reality. I feel like any show that's set now has to address it in some way, like Black-ish. That family at least has to talk about what it was like to go through it, flashback to summertime when they were all together in the house or whatever. If Modern Family was still happening, they would have to do something about it. I feel like it's weird to ignore it otherwise.
I mean, I hope that Grey's Anatomy tackles everything. I hope they tackle the pandemic, racial injustice. I mean, I hope that they kind of hit all elements, because that's what Shonda Rhimes has always done, that in a really, I feel like, beautiful and responsible way. So I'm just excited that they're talking about it coming back right now.
Well, let me tell you, you're not going to be happy about when they're saying it's going to come back.
January. What?
And now it's escaping me, the actual date that they gave. But it wasn't anytime soon.
To stall with them.
No, they said they're going to probably start writing or like something. I feel like it was like May.
Here's the thing.
May?
Here's the thing.
That
no.
doesn't make any sense.
Here's what I think. And, you know, if you're a filmmaker or TV producer, director, correct me if I'm wrong. Why can't they get the smallest amount of people in there possible? No extras, nothing. And film these scenes. Like, you know, I mean,
there's a lot more to it than that, Becca.
Come on. Handheld digital camera. You mean you can't? What if they made it kind of like docu-series type?
But that's not
Taylor
Grey's
Swift
Anatomy.
Wrote a whole album. They can write episodes and film them.
It's different,
though. I
think
though. It's weird if they haven't written anything yet, because they can be writing, and so they're ready to hit the ground running whenever they get the opportunity to. I agree. I think I hope they can figure out a way to do it.
It's just when you think about it, like, think about it. When you're on a set, there's people that are there to do their hair and their makeup
and
their wardrobe.
Well, they can all do their hair and makeup. They're all medical people. Like,
that's right.
Okay, really? That aside, okay. There's one cameraman. There's a lighting person. There's a sound person on multiple cameras. So that's like 12.
We don't need multiple. They can shoot with one camera.
They do shoot with one. It's film.
Yeah. Okay, and then we have the actual people that are in the scene. So maybe add like
maybe
three.
We do like two people at a time, scenes of two people.
Yeah, and quarantine them in a hotel for 14 days before you start shooting.
Bachelor's shooting right now. Bachelor is shooting right now.
I know, and I got to say, if Bachelor comes out and they're like 6 feet apart and stuff, it's gonna really irk my pickle.
They're not going to be, because they quarantine for that reason.
I hope so.
All I'm saying, I'm happy to see Grey's is even talking about coming back. That makes me feel good, but I think they can push it up a little bit if they need to. It's just my opinion.
I don't know, man. This Google situation, this Google news really threw me for a loop this morning. It really threw me. And I always go to Mark for things, just because I don't know, you've become my like center for just rational thinking.
Happy to be there.
Uh-huh. And so I'm thinking, like, when are we going to be back in the studio?
And I said, I don't think July of 21 is out of the realm of possibility. I don't think we're going back in 2020. So then when in 21 is it deemed safe?
It's
maybe July.
It's July 2020. That is a year from now.
This is the thing,
I understood.
Though. If you're able to do the job from home, they're going to be as safe as possible.
Yes, and we are, and we're doing a very good show, in my opinion. I think we're doing our regular show. We're not doing a watered-down home version of the show like some shows are, and some shows are really aching to get back because they're not doing the show they want to be doing. This is our show. We're doing it. So I'm happy to stay home as long as they need us to.
I mean, nothing's that different for me, so same.
Becca, I honestly, it's helped me a ton just having you here. Like, having you in arm's reach has really helped me in mental ways.
Great. I'm happy to help you mental ways.
Thank you.
Okay, so shall we get to emails?
Sure, this is from Anonymous. I'm 23. I just graduated in May with my master's degree in education. I landed my dream teaching position, which starts in September. For many reasons, I've lived with my grandparents most of my life. When COVID-19 hit, my older brother lost his job and also moved in. We have a very tense relationship. He's lazy, rude, and has alcoholic tendencies. This is a big trigger for me, as we have a family history and I choose not to drink at all. For the 2 months he's been home, I've been unhappy and in a constant state of unrest. Knowing I'll be starting a full-time position that will likely require me to work from home part-time until further notice, I have started looking at apartments in the nearby town. While I'll probably wait until the end of the year to move, my family all thinks I'm being irresponsible. I should stay where I'm at and save money. Cost of living is high in my state, and I know it's going to be a financial burden, especially with my student loans. But I can't shake the feeling that I need my independence for the sake of my mental health. It is hard to explain to my family how I'm feeling without hurting feelings or causing conflict. I'm yearning for my own space to do as I please without disruption or constant judgment. I would love any insight or advice you may have. This one's easy for me, but go ahead.
Oh.
I know I was going to ask because both you and Easton choose not to drink. And I was wondering if that at all would be a trigger for you. Like just having that someone in that position around 24/7, if that would weigh down on you.
I don't know if that would bother me or not. I also have family history with it, and that's another factor. But I don't know that that would really bug me. But I think in her situation, when it's an older brother, there's probably elements of verbal, who knows, harassment. He's probably fairly belligerent. He's probably very unfun to be around. And the older brother, little sister dynamic is kind of fraught with a bully relationship sometimes anyway. So, I mean, I understand why she doesn't want to be around that.
Yeah, my first reaction was, because she was saying it's a financial burden to move out, is maybe if she has some other family in the area or like a close friend that she can maybe do a like one bedroom with, and you know what I mean? So it's not as much of a financial burden.
I think she could find a roommate situation and pay, you know, half rent with someone else and it be have her independence away from her family without being totally alone. She don't have to be totally alone, but just get out of the tense environment. That's, I mean, when it's causing a strain on your mental health, that to me is a sign to change things. And yeah, I've learned that when you have anyone close to you with an addictive past, a lot of times we, like people who have those people in their lives, there's this responsibility to take care of their feelings and worry about what they say and taking care of their, like almost feeling responsible for them. And that's not your job. Your job is to take care of yourself. And once you're able to take care of yourself, you can then, you know, take care of your people. But I feel like you're reached a place where it's time for you to seek independence and do your own thing.
Yeah. All that's good. Get out. However you got to get out, get out.
Yeah.
Figure it. You'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. You'll figure out, you know, jump off the cliff and build your wings on the way down, that whole thing.
Yeah.
You'll figure it out. You'll find a way to get by, whether it's a roommate or whatever, but you got to get out of that situation.
It was never like a question in my mind, like staying there.
No. Yeah. The answer is get out.
Get out. As Arnold Schwarzenegger said, get out.
Yeah, get out.
This is from Bex. That's cute.
That's not me, but cute.
I was on a walk with my boyfriend of 9 years yesterday, and he sprung something on me. He's always been a bit hesitant to spend money on things, slash is a big saver, slash is a practical person. He's brought this up before about a wedding and wanting to maybe just have a giant party with great food and all of our close people. I love that idea. On our walk, however, he brought up not understanding the need for a wedding ring. He said it's such an absurd tradition to pay a significant amount of money for a piece of jewelry when I should already know how much I love him and want to be with him. After saying all this, he basically said, I'll still get a ring for you if that's what you want, but now I feel way less excited about the entire situation. I've been dreaming about a ring and being proposed to for the last couple of years, and now I'm so bummed about all of it. He said he would be down to do a big trip, the two of us, instead of waste a bunch of money on a ring. I just don't know how to go about this situation or how to make myself feel excited again about getting a ring or even if I should want a ring in the first place.
So I had a knee-jerk reaction to this.
What?
But you guys are probably going to not agree with me.
Get out!
No. Oh, that was not okay, my knee-jerk sorry. Reaction. So my knee-jerk reaction was, first of all, I love the fact that he is like, what's the word? Practical.
Cheap.
And
no, cheap.
Not cheap, practical.
Cheap. Frugal.
No. Practical. I appreciate that. Okay, I really do. So when I read this, my initial thought was they've been together for 9 years. He's ready to propose and he wants to throw her off. So he's just saying this to throw her off and then he's going to like propose with a beautiful ring that she's always wanted. And that's how it's going to be.
I hope.
But there I go with my hopeful expectations again. That sometimes, I'm not going to lie, really, really shot me in the foot sometimes. So
I love that. But however, now she has that in her head and she's going to be waiting for a beautiful ring. Well, while he might literally be like, if you need one, I'll get you one. That is so, I would be so in the same place of questioning, am I selfish for wanting a ring? I feel bad. Am I only worried about the ring? I would hate having this mental battle right now because he basically was like, if that's what you want, I'll do it. But like, I don't want, that's not really what I want.
Right. So now if he does do it, she's going to feel guilty about it. And if he doesn't do it, then this is what she's always wanted. He's painted himself into a corner here. I hate this.
Me too. I hate it. And I know that marriage and a relationship and love is not about the ring. But the ring is a symbol of commitment and love. And she's not even saying she wants a big, sparkling, giant diamond ring. She just wants a ring. And for him to kind of take away that excitement and that gift of, you know, something that is it's a really fun and beautiful tradition, makes me sad.
It would always bum me out. Like, sometimes I'd see guys, like, when they're at that point where they should propose, they all of a sudden develop this like stance about, like, you know, a lot of those diamonds come from like conflict mines, and like they be like they do this like hard pivot, or like, I don't need to spend a bunch of money for you to know how much I love you, and stuff like that. And I always think, like, who cares? She wants the ring, just get the ring. You don't have to spend that much money, you know? Like you can get a really nice ring for a couple $100 and she'd be very happy.
Yeah. That just, it makes, I agree, Mark. It's like, no matter what, she's going to feel, she gets the short end of the stick here.
I don't know, guys. I don't think she's going to get the short end of the stick. I think that he's gearing up to pop the question and he's trying to throw her off his scent. And
that sucks too.
That's true. Like, true. I mean, I don't love his approach. However, if this is what he has done, I respect it. And maybe he's picked out the perfect ring for her.
Oh, she even, the face in Tanya's face right now says she doesn't even believe herself.
It's because, look, guys, sometimes you just have to, like, you have to have a pie in the face moment. Or no, I'm sorry. What is it? Pie in the sky? Is it pie in the sky?
Pie in the sky, sure.
Is that the right analogy?
I think so.
I think so, too. So sometimes you kind of just have to have a pie in the sky mentality and just hope, be hopeful that it's coming and don't think too much in the negative. But I don't know, at what point does she start to lose hope in that?
I was going to say year 9. Woof.
Yeah, 9 years. That's the other thing. Because I would say this is a red flag, but 9 years in, you're not going anywhere, I don't think. So...
I know, like, I'm trying to think, if I were in that position, how long would I give it until I started to panic?
I understand practical and frugal, and I'm probably those, but I also feel like this is the kind of guy that's never going to want to spend money on anything ever for any reason. Like, oh, we don't need a house. I mean, this apartment's fine, and we don't need to, you know, put the kids in preschool. We can just teach them here. I just feel like he's going to find excuses at every step.
Yeah. Please keep us posted.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't know if we really had any good advice there except for Tanya's optimism.
I think it's coming, girl. Bex, just chill. Oh, put your feet up.
I think it's coming.
Yeah, no, I do.
No, don't raise her expectations.
If it happens, then that is amazing. But if it doesn't, you have it in her head that it's coming.
If it doesn't, then we need to reassess.
Yeah. We need to read Calling in the One.
Or Codependent
No More.
Codependent
No More. All right. Oh, man, that's so rough.
I'd give it 3 months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But until what?
To see if he proposes.
And then?
And then I would reassess my situation.
What if he proposes with no ring?
How do you do that? You just get down on the ground and hold up a plane ticket because he wants to go on a trip instead of a ring?
Maybe.
Being proposed to without a ring, that's interesting. I don't know what I would do.
He proposes with a plane ticket or a hotel voucher? I don't know.
Put an onion ring on your finger?
Or like a bread tie, like a bread tire.
I love an onion ring on my finger. Yeah. Well, today was a very, we were kind of, it was like the pandemic, kind of all over the place.
Right, waves, just waves, highs and lows.
However, I felt like it was a very important episode. We talked about, in all seriousness, I have gotten so many DMs about human trafficking and why we haven't talked about it. And
so interesting.
What, you haven't?
No.
I get the you know.
Yeah, I get the DMs of like, I feel like crap because this boy doesn't like me.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
no,
girl.
Mine are like about a lot of heavy things. But I'm glad that we got to have a conversation about that. And also I'm really glad we got to talk about Taylor's album, what it means to us. Got to talk about how in the world State of Grace is your number one on the Red album.
Still stand by it.
She hasn't changed her mind, folks.
Trying to figure out how I'm going to get myself a Taylor Swift cardigan.
Yeah, it's like, I guess it's delayed. The ones online are delayed for like 10 weeks or something. It'll be perfect for when the fall weather comes.
True.
All right. Well, we love you guys. Hope you have a great week. What are you pointing at me for?
That's it, and that's all. I just
doing her shooters.
Good send off.
All right, great send off.
Shaka.
Shaka.
We will see you next week, and we love you, and be safe, and be
merry,
and nice to each other,
and folklore.
And folklore. And stream folklore. All right,
bye.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
Hey, you know how we're always trying to keep our girls' nights exciting with new cocktails?
Yeah.
Well, here's something that's going to flip the
21
script.
Seeds infused tequila.
Wait, you already know?
Of course. 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with juice from real fruit.
Yeah, so you only need two or three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
But did you know that 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend?
Sounds like there's a good story behind that for sure. So listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA. And I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.